And now, the Great American Folk Show, a little place on the radio where we commune with you to share stories and sing some songs and talk to some good people with great voices. I'm Tom Russo, and this is our Christmas special. You'll hear Yule-flavored musical performances from around the world, really. Plus, Oscar-nominated actor and musician John C. Reilly is going to sing a song written by indie rockers Dawes. A Christmas pie recipe that funded a North Dakota family's trip to Devil's Lake to see President FDR. That was back in the Dust Bowl era. That's going to come to you from Prairie Public Broadcasting's very own reporter, Danielle Webster. And former Prairie Public Director of Radio, Bill Thomas, will unpack the winter song, Watch the Stars. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah to you and yours. I'm so glad you're with us today. Okay, I am making myself a crock pot winter drink right now called Upper Sail, Wassail. Kind of a funny little name for a recipe that I found tucked in the back of a book that I bought in a Santa Monica, California bookstore called Angel City Books. Great spot, by the way. And it's still open for business if you're looking for a cool spot to go and buy a book in Santa Monica. Well, anyway, the recipe calls for 2 parts cider, and it calls for 1 part orange juice, and I'm just adding that right now. Then half a zing of lemon and cinnamon sticks, it calls for cloves and ginger and sweet table wine. And on that note, Carlo Rossi is going to do just fine. Oh my gosh, this smells so delicious. But I tell you what, when the upper sail, wassail is done, when it gets piping hot and ready to drink, I'm going to pour a cup for you and for me. But for right now, let's begin with some music, shall we? With the Kellers. They're a sister duo out of Northern California. Their mother was a talented Hollywood actress from the 1950s named Eileen. And actually, she was born not too far from where I'm broadcasting right now. She was born in Manitoba, Canada. Cheryl and Carrie, they grew up influenced by their Hollywood actress mother. But they put in much work to perfect their harmonies on their own. And they've enjoyed being a successful professional touring act and recording duo for quite some time. They brought a holiday classic tune with them today, and they brought their own traditional winter drink to share with you. It's the Keller Sisters on the Great American Folk Show.
Hi there, Tom. It's Carrie and Cheryl of the Keller Sisters. We'd like to thank you for having us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you asked us for a holiday memory. We have loads of them, like everyone else, I'm sure. But we decided to think of the wonderful times with our own parents. And our mother was the hostess. And so our entire family would gather at my parents' house. And we always had such a good time. We had lots of cousins. And we were always relegated to what my dad called the kids' table. So is relegated the right word?
Or banished. Maybe banished. Yeah.
Banished. Yeah, that makes way more sense. And of course, as we got older, it went from being a table to an entire room with a door that closed.
And locked. Oh, no.
Yeah. And we got, we had a good time. We got a little crazy. We have really fun cousins. We still see them. There may have been a food fight or...
Yeah, what were we throwing around there, Cheryl?
I would say most likely Parker House rolls.
Ah, Parker House rolls, yes.
They fit really nicely in the hand.
Yeah, it's
you
easy
really
to...
really get a good...
Good wind-up. Good wind-up.
And of course, the target was always our older brother, Greg, because...
Oh, yeah, because he deserved it.
Because he deserved it, as most older brothers do. So that was a lot of fun. We, again, still see them, our cousins. We love them so much. And that's what the holidays are for us and for everyone, I'm sure. It's seeing family and remembering all those happy times. And then there was a tradition that my father had as we got older and we kept going back to the family house. Carrie, you can talk about that a little bit.
Oh, the family house. Yes, Dad would whip up his famous morning fizz And there's supposed to be gin in it and some other ingredients, but the secret ingredient for Dad was vodka because he hated gin.
He didn't like gin.
No, but it was a wonderful tradition. In fact, I think we should just resurrect it.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Maybe this year.
This year, I'm thinking.
Yes, let's do it. Let's do it. So we want to wish you all happy holidays.
Yes, have a very, very happy holiday season.
And thank you again for having us.
Thank you, Tom.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman. They'll pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. Face unafraid, the plans that we made. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Oh yeah.
Walking in a winter wonderland. Uh-huh. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Cheryl and Carrie Keller right there with the duet Winter Wonderland. How nice was that? And you know, so many people favor that holiday song, Winter Wonderland, and you can't blame them. It's often a song that's passed down in the family. It's got a catchy melody and great lyrics. It was written by Richard Bernard Smith. Just a little background information on the song. He was a talented Pennsylvania man who lived a rather short life. He died of TB. The song was composed in 1934, and 1 year later, he passed away at the age of 34. Well, we certainly remember him by singing his beautiful song, and the Kellers did a fine job. We turn now to Sofia Tolvik, Swedish singer-songwriter who's been recording albums and touring for over 20 years now across Scandinavia, Great Britain, and Europe, and hitting 48 states too. And I really admire that about her or any working musician, the miles that they put in. Sophia's seen a lot of the world, no doubt. And if she didn't already have a little bit of wanderlust to begin with, well, certainly she's accustomed to the rigors of the road by now. She's not bound to any one writing style, but an area that she has endeavored to explore a little bit more these days is Christmas music. Not Tin Pan Alley, Winter Wonderland type stuff, but singer-songwriter Winter Wonderland type stuff. And I think you'll know what I mean by that in just a moment. Her voice is unaffected, it's emotional, and very pretty. It's a very big talent. Here's her latest song. It's inspired by the real story of a man who nearly died in a blizzard on the Appalachian Trail in the early 2000s. It's called A.T. Christmas. And then Sophia will join us with a live session.
Snow, like branches in the forest, hanging heavily, hanging low. The moonlit sky offers its rewards. There's a shelter in the distance that you're striding towards. You can sit down for a while to catch your breath. The snow is soft as down. In the early morning light of Christmas Day, you found the place where you could stay. Appalachian Trail on Christmas. sit down for a while to catch your breath. The snow is soft to stand. In the early morning light of Christmas Day, you found a place where you would stay. Appalachian Trail.
Hi, Tom. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be part of this holiday special. And I'm so happy that you guys played my new Christmas song, A.T. Christmas, Appalachian Trail Christmas. And as you might have heard, it's a song about a guy that gets stuck in a blizzard on the Appalachian Trail at Christmas, trying to get off the trail. And what you might not know is that this is actually based on a true story. So I did a tour this year in the U.S. and I played this magical little place called Greenville, South Carolina. And this is my second time that I played there. And I just met this wonderful guy who told me this story, actually, how he was on the Appalachian Trail trying to get off. It was in the middle of winter. It was in December. And he almost didn't make it. So I write a Christmas song every year, and all my Christmas songs are mainly like on the darker side of Christmas. So I have a lot of Christmas songs that are like murder ballads or people who die. You know, it's like maybe not what you expect from a Christmas song usually, but that's kind of my niche, or has become my niche for Christmas songs. So my Christmas song, the guy in the song doesn't make it, of course, but I'm very happy that my friend Ben made it and told me the story that inspired the song. And so I write a Christmas song every year. I've been doing this for 15 plus years. I released a Christmas album in 2017 with all the songs I had written up till then. Writing songs on like the darker side, that is not like the happy-go-lucky jingle bells kind of songs, I think that's probably reflecting how I view Christmas. I like Christmas, but, you know, sometimes I will just go on a trip or, you know, I'll celebrate with friends. Looking forward to Christmas this year. I'm actually going to be in Spain. I'm going to be in Barcelona. And I'm also looking forward to next year in May and June. I will be in the US and I will actually be playing a bunch of shows around North Dakota. So hopefully I will see you there, and I don't think I will play a whole lot of Christmas songs then. Thanks so much for having me.
In a world flakes fall, but they can't warm this cold, cold autumn night. The carolers are singing songs of love and cheer, but I'm just longing for someone to hold me near. I'm alone for Christmas again. I watch the fire flicker, but I can't chase the gloom. All the unsaid words are hanging silently in this room. The carolers are singing, but the joy just feels so far. I'm trapped in a cold and broken-hearted scar. I'm alone for Christmas again. I'm just waiting for a miracle, for you to open the door. I'm just waiting for a miracle. I heard it happen once before, but I'm alone for Christmas. I'm alone for Christmas. Of snow, so thick and white, nothing feels okay, it's not alright, 'cause you're not here with me tonight. I'm alone for Christmas, I'm alone for Christmas.
If you're just joining in, this is the Great American Folk Show. It's good to have you. I'm Tom Brousseau. This is our Christmas special, and maybe you just started tuning in now. So I'm going to let you know that I'm cooking some wassail in a crock pot, this old great recipe that I found in the back of a book. And it's almost ready. It is so fragrant. You can just, when I aerate it with my mug here as it's getting hot, and a little bit of that table wine, sweet table wine, just really brings this beautiful drink to life. It's not quite ready yet. And when it is, I'll let you know and we'll have a cup. But for right now, let's go to our next guest, John C. Reilly. He's on the verge of becoming an Oscar Wilde Award recipient, which celebrates U.S.-Ireland ties. John grew up in Chicago, in case you didn't know. His dad's side is from Ireland. To receive an Oscar Wilde Award, it's quite an honor, as you can imagine. And the bash is held just days before the Academy Awards in Hollywood, California. Well, lately, John's been very busy with projects, so I'm so glad that he found the time to send in a couple of recordings. The last New Yorker magazine that I read featured an article about his vaudevillian one-man act called Mr. Romantic. You have to type in Mr. Romantic John C. Reilly on the internet. And man, this guy's just the best. Well, Mr. Romantic is all about this guy who's hopelessly devoted to love. And he's all dressed up in a black tux and a black bow tie. And he pops out of a trunk singing songs from the Great American Songbook. Very entertaining. All of the shows sell out very fast. And he also stars as a folk singer in David Lowery's new animated short, An Almost Christmas Story, which you can watch right now on Disney. And my kids absolutely love it, and I bet you yours will too. Whenever I see John C. Reilly, it makes me want to embrace my own Irish roots even more, and indeed I do. He's an inspiring guy to be around. He's always got a song to sing, and he's a good friend to boot.
Hey, Tom, it's your old pal John C. Reilly. Sending along a song to you here. It's a song I just heard recently. It just came out in November. It's called A Christmas Tree in the Window by Dawes. And I really love this song for Christmas because it's about redemption. And it's about, you know, a ne'er-do-well seeing the light. And I somehow could relate to that. I don't know how, Tom, but the story is about a burglar who's about to rob a house. And then he sees the Christmas tree and has a change of heart. Anyway, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you, Tom, and the whole Great American Folk Show audience. Sending big, warm love to you up there in North Dakota. Take care, buddy. Bye. Oh, hey, Tom, I forgot one other thing, an important detail. Taylor Goldsmith, who wrote the song with his brother Griffin from the band Dawes, is playing piano on the song and singing harmonies with me. So it was a big honor that he let me steal a brand new song from him, so I hope you enjoy it.
It wasn't the alarm that kept me from breaking in. I'd seen their system before. You cut a couple power lines and before it's fixed again, you just walk through the front door. And it wasn't their big dog that lived out in the front yard. You could hear him from the street. I'd just sneak up all in black, and then right before he barks, give him several bags of meat. It was the Christmas tree. That finally got to me. The presents and decorations, the hospitality, that's the magic of the season. How you think you can I called my mom and dad. We hadn't spoken once in years. I could tell they were deciding if they were shocked, relieved, or mad. I was already in tears. I said, let's skip all the apologies. I doubt any of us want. Just calling to say hi. Mom just had a birthday, and this year the Dodgers have a shot. Maybe I could swing by. It was the Christmas tree in the window that finally and decorations, the hospitality, that's the magic of the season. When you think you can finally see the love in a single Christmas tree. in a single Christmas tree.
Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrist Charitable Trust, the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative, helping meet the electricity needs of rural member cooperatives in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Our power is our people. More information at minnkota.com. Holidays are all about goodies. I mean, prime rib and ham and crab and turkey and gravy and shrimp and all that. That's important, don't get me wrong. But goodies are the day-to-day. They're the in-between. They're the companion to a perfect cup of piping hot church basement coffee. And I think you know what I mean by that if you've ever had church basement coffee or tea. And though some goodies are rich in taste, Great Plains Scandinavians, for example, make cookies so thin, lefse so thin, that you can practically see right through it, which of course means there's no sinning in having another one, or maybe even another one after that. Well, we are so fortunate to welcome to our Christmas special today Prairie Public Broadcasting's own Danielle Webster, who joins us now to talk about a certain goody tradition in her family. It's not cherry pie with a piece of cheese on top. It's not apple pie or blueberry pie, but butterscotch pie. And I'm talking about yum. I love butterscotch. And part of the recipe, at least journalistically, is the time FDR visited Devil's Lake.
Family traditions are woven through holiday gatherings year after year. And for many of us in the Upper Great Plains, a lot of tradition shows up on our plates. In my family, it's in a slice of pie. Growing up, I ate a lot of lefse, sugar cookies, and mashed potatoes and gravy during the holidays. Trays of treats were placed on the counter to easily grab from as you walked by, and there were always smoked oysters with crackers off to the side because my grandpa liked them. But pie was extra special. My mother grew up in Southern California and worked at a restaurant called Richard's House of Pies. She admired how beautiful the pastries looked and tasted. Her favorite was pecan pie a la mode. When she met my dad and moved to North Dakota, he told her his favorite dessert was pie, so she became inspired. She cracked open the Better Homes and Gardens cookbook and got very good at making pies from scratch. And so this, especially, became an important edible tradition during the holidays. After all, nothing is better than a chilled slice of pumpkin pie with a pile of Cool Whip on top. When I got married, I wanted to carry on that tradition too, so I started bringing pies I baked to my in-laws for the holidays. At Thanksgiving and Christmas, I proudly presented pumpkin, pecan, and berry crumble pies, and of course the all-American apple pie would show up for the 4th of July. But there's one pie recipe I've sat on for years now, one I've actually heard about my entire life, and I think it's time I finally gave it a shot. It's a recipe for butterscotch pie, and this moment is just over 90 years in the making. My Webster side of the family originated in Scotland and ended up in Ramsey County, North Dakota. My dad's dad, Wilton, or Wilt, was a third-generation farmer in the region, but before that, he had to grow up during the Dust Bowl and Great Depression. Bringing in a crop in those days was difficult, to say the least. In 1934, Wilt was just 4 years old, and an historic day was approaching. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt was making a stop in Devil's Lake during a tour to see Dust Bowl hardships firsthand and offer some words of encouragement and optimism.
But I had a hunch, and it was the right one. When I got out here, I'd find that you people had your chins out.
Wilt's family was hardy and resourceful, but also very poor. There was enough gas in the car to get to town, but not enough to make it back. And so they resigned themselves to the fact that they just wouldn't be able to go. But on the day of the visit, a check for $2 arrived in the mail. That's $45 in today's money. My great-grandma Maud had submitted a recipe into a contest sponsored by The Farmer magazine. They informed her they would be publishing her recipe, and this was her monetary prize. The family now could afford to make the trip to town, and so my grandpa and his family piled into their 1928 Studebaker and hit the road just in time to join 35,000 other North Dakotans to see FDR and hear his message of hope, all because of that recipe for butterscotch pie. I mean, I have to taste this pie. It's time to break out the flour and sugar. To make Great-Grandma Maud's butterscotch pie, I combined a cup of brown sugar, a couple tablespoons of cornstarch, a bit of salt, and a couple cups of milk in a glass bowl. The recipe says may use a double boiler, so I did. You're supposed to keep stirring until thick, so I kept whisking and whisking to no avail.
I am just moments away from abandoning this entire double boiler nonsense because this is not going to thicken. It's been like 40 minutes.
I thought maybe adding the butter and separated egg yolks would help, but it just wasn't setting up. I finally dumped in more cornstarch, but after 45 minutes, I gave up and started over.
Yeah, this is just not, I don't believe in this. Okay, we're gonna do something else.
This time, I skipped that double boiler business.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah, this looks really good.
Now the recipe says to pour the thickened filling into a baked pie crust. But anytime I've pre-baked a pie crust, it came out so tough you could barely eat it. So I rolled out a single crust, placed it into my pie dish, and used a spatula to scoop in the filling. For the topping, you just beat the separated egg whites until stiff, combined with 2 cups of small marshmallows, and spread over the top.
I'm confident we can get this topping done without any drama. Let's see here. I think it will be okay. All right. Okay. She's ready to go in the oven as soon as it's done getting hot enough. Oh boy. Okay.
Now here's where I got into some more trouble. Maud's recipe says to bake at 350 degrees, but not for exactly how long. Because the filling is already cooked on the stove, it doesn't need to bake in the oven for an hour. All her recipe says is to bake till delicately brown. It was about now I started thinking, I definitely should have pre-baked that pie crust. I also should have Googled butterscotch pie before doing absolutely anything. There is no way a crust is going to be done after only 10 minutes.
But so like it's meringue, but it's also marshmallows.
Yeah.
So.
It's got that toasted marshmallow look. It looks perfect, golden brown.
Okay. We're gonna.
I think you're good.
Okay.
You follow the instructions?
Yeah.
It came out a little more toasty than delicately brown, but I felt okay about it. It didn't look like I could spill the entire pie, and that's what I was most concerned about. And now, to my in-laws' house we go.
Looks wonderful, Mom.
Oh, my.
Okay, I need a plate. I need a plate.
Andy, once again, you've
right
done yourself.
Turkey.
Yep.
Or stew. There's one by you, too.
My husband's family has Thanksgiving traditions of their own. Candy's mashed potatoes, Gary's mom's dressing, an additional set of turkey breasts to accommodate the large family, and lots of gravy. For many attendees, multiple platefuls are heaped, and I'm starting to wonder if anyone will have room for pie at all. But to my delight, and let's be honest, anxiety, everyone is game.
Looking good.
Does it? This is very concerning.
When Candy cut into the pie, I started panicking. It looked a little soupy in the middle. But those fears subsided once slices were plated and passed around the table. The filling was a touch runnier than I'd hoped, but certainly not a disaster. And the reviews were glowing.
That's really good.
It does smell good. I don't know
why. Anyone else need a piece?
And it's not like
you'd expect it would be just like super butterscotch.
Really?
But it's just a nice blend.
You want out?
I could feel that there was like a toasted marshmallow on
top. Yeah.
I think it's delicious.
Delicious.
I like it. I do too.
I can taste the scotch.
I can taste the butter.
I've decided to make this pie again for Christmas. My parents, sisters, and their families absolutely need to taste it. If you want to make Great Grandma Maud's butterscotch pie, here's a few tips. Skip the double boiler altogether and cook the filling directly on the stove. I plan to cook it a little longer next time to see if I can thicken it even more. And definitely pre-bake your pie crust. Use some pie weights so it doesn't bubble up. 15 minutes is all you should need. Great-Grandma Maud passed away in 1992 when I was 8. This year, I was lucky enough to hear her voice again as she recalled a treasured memory from Christmas past.
Well, then all of a sudden, they told everybody to be quiet, and you could hear the sleigh bells ringing. And here comes Santa Claus through the kitchen window. And, oh, I just couldn't get over it. I thought it was the most wonderful thing I'd ever seen. One Christmas I always remember.
When FDR visited Devil's Lake in 1934, one of the things he said was this. Quoting now, "We hope that nature is going to open the heavens. When I came out on the platform this morning and saw a rather dark cloud, I said to myself, maybe it is going to rain. Well, it did not. All I can say is, I hope to goodness it is going to rain. Good and plenty." End quote. Well, if you know anything about Devil's Lake, you know those rains eventually came, creating a whole new set of problems for farmers in the region, and a whole different flavor of hope had to take hold. For the Websters in the Devil's Lake Basin, hope may have tasted a little like butterscotch. Whatever hope, tradition, or memories taste like at your holiday table, be sure to enjoy it and make the effort to share it with those you love most. For Prairie Public, I'm Danielle Webster.
Wide open range, it's Christmas for cowboys and wide open plains.
It's the Great American Folk Show Christmas Special. I'm Tom Brusseau. It's good to have you along for the sleigh ride today. Well, former director of radio at Prairie Public Broadcasting, Bill Thomas, is a folk music appreciator, a real enthusiast at that. I've known him for a while. I might even go so far as to call him a musicologist, though I'm sure he'd refuse that title. I mean, it takes serious study to gain a title like that. But still, I've known a few musicologists in my day, and I know Bill could hold his own around them. I mean, he not only stays up on the latest, but he also keeps digging for more in the rich annals of folk music. Now that he's retired, he's had more time to invest into music, folk music. And luckily for me, it's not more than an hour's drive to visit Bill in Moorhead, where he lives, and tap him for a good song and a story behind it.
Make me a pallet on your floor.
One thing I love about American folk music, there's usually only about 3 chords per song.
Yeah. Some of them get fancy and add a couple of variations, but the Tin Pan Alley composers sometimes make fun of the folk music people because, you know, you can take those 3-chord songs and make them complicated if you want, but yeah, they are harmonically pretty simple.
The last time I was over here, Bill, you played Make Me Down a Pallet on your floor, which added in that 4th interesting chord.
Yeah, had that F sharp minor in there, yeah.
And that's kind of unusual because, as we've been discussing, most folk songs seem to just kind of like pull from those 3 chords, the cowboy chords. But there's a lot that you can do with that, and certainly it brings a lot of joy to play those songs.
Yeah. I have learned some complicated songs with, you know, sustained 4th chords and minor 9ths and stuff, and it's kind of fun to do that, but I do come back to the simple ones.
I'm visiting with an old buddy of mine, Bill Thomas, and he's got his old 1972 D18 Martin guitar here, fresh back from the shop, and he's going to play a song for us Bill, there's folk songs for any occasion, for every season, and certainly the Christmas season, there's tons of folk songs. You've got one kind of lined up for today?
I do, and it's one I really like. I mean, there's so many songs for not just Christmas, but the winter season. Silver Bells is a beautiful song, you know, and the many fun songs. Jingle Bells is great. You know, I've used it with kids so many times. I like to play music with kids. And I love Silent Night. It's just beautiful. And I think everybody who's heard it can relate to how simple but beautiful that is. But there's one that I picked up. It was in this book called, I think it was called Folk Songs for Christmas, put together by Ruth Crawford Seeger many, many years ago. And she had a song in there called Watch the Stars. And it just really caught me. It's a great one to do with children. You can even have them do motions with it, like stars and the moon and the wind. And there's a little bit of fuzziness in the research about it, which is often the case with folk songs. But it's from the Georgia Sea Islands, evidently. At least that's where it was collected by another collector. And then Ruth Crawford Seeger, who also was a song collector, picked it up and put it in this anthology. And it got sung by one of her kids. Peggy Seeger sang it. And I play it very simply. I've never worked up a fancy accompaniment because I usually do it as a sing-along, either with kids or with adults. And it's got a nice melody with a little lift in the middle. There's actually a couple minor chords in there to break it up. And so, yeah, it's just a nice song, nice simple song. I'll do it in C. Watch the stars, see how they run. Watch the stars, see how they run. You know the stars run down at the setting of the sun. Watch the stars, see how they run. Watch the wind, see how it blows. Watch the wind, see how it blows, how it blows. Oh, the wind's gonna blow when the sun is going down. Watch the wind, see how it blows. Watch the moon, see how it glows. Watch the moon, see how it glows, how it glows. Oh, the moon gonna glow when the sun is going down. Watch the moon, see how it glows, see how it glows. See how it glows.
That was Bill Thomas with a song that's pretty special called Oh, Watch the Stars. Such a haunting melody, that one. As Bill mentioned, it comes from the islands just off of Georgia State, the Sea Islands. Thank you, Bill, for sharing that song. Well, I've been making crockpot wassail this entire time, in case you didn't know, in case you're just tuning in right now. And as the drink's been heating up, it's filled my place with such fragrant seasonal cheer. It's not done yet, I don't think, but I'm going to have a little taste here real quick, too. I put a little in a tin. Let me just swirl it around. A little sweet table wine that goes in that just really makes the experience so pleasurable. Here's a little taste. Oh yeah, that's pretty good, although needs a little bit more ginger. Okay, there we go. Well, anyway, when this wassail is done, I'm going to serve up a cup for you and for me, and we'll do a little toast. But let's continue right now with more music. You know, I'm often always asked, what's my favorite holiday tune? Put on the spot, and well, it's not such an easy thing to answer, but in my woolly brain, the one that's really sticking to the Kinks is a song called Jolly Old Saint Nick. I just love it. Reminds me of being in my grandparents' house in the basement at Christmas time in Drayton, North Dakota, somewhere way back in my memory. I remember hearing this on an old record. Here to perform it specially for you is Cameron Noller, whose approach to the acoustic guitar is just like gilded needlework. I think you're really going to enjoy it.
Hello everyone, this is Cameron Noller reporting from Old Hickory Village in sunny Tennessee, and today I'm going to play an old Christmas song for you called Jolly Old Saint Nick on my 1933 Gibson El Centre Progress guitar.
You just heard Cameron Noller of Yuma, Arizona, with a song called Jolly Old Saint Nick. That's a classic, classic Christmas song. You don't really hear that one so much anymore. And you should, because it's such a beautiful song. Cameron's a guitar player, whom I greatly admire. And he's an artist on many different levels. And he is a motorbike enthusiast. He probably knows everything about motorbikes, just as much as he knows about guitars. As I mentioned, he's an artist. He makes these rope straps to keep your guitar up on your shoulder while you play. They're about the coolest thing in the world. If you're looking for something to get somebody, maybe even in the new year, keep this website in mind, ruralguitar.com. That's Cameron's website. You can find all of his information and even music on that website. As these winter months get on and it gets colder, I think you appreciate things a little bit more. I think that's what Christmas time is about. It's about appreciating family. Kwanzaa certainly is that way. Appreciating the festival of lights, Hanukkah, love and light. You appreciate your family, either in the flesh, right before you, right at the same dinner table, or you do so in memory. I feel pretty blessed to have my folks and family, my in-laws, alive and well and feeling happy. I mean, these days, as I near 50 years old, I'm most thankful for my family. And I'm most thankful for right now. Well, my wassail is piping hot, and I've got a little ladle right here. I'm going to scoop up a little cup of cheer. This is done. It's for you and for me. And I want to say to you, very heartfelt Merry Christmas. God Jule, love ya. Joyous Kwanzaa. Happy 8 days of Hanukkah, love and light. That is too good for words right there. A little upper sail, wassail. Our last two songs were sent in by musician and songwriter Shelley Short, who lives with her family in Queensland, Australia. I couldn't think of a better way to conclude the show than with Shelley singing in a cup of upper sail, wassail with you. Enjoy these two songs by Shelley Short.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake
Frosty the Snowman.
Shelley Short with her little one, Rocky, singing along on Frosty the Snowman. And before that, her duet with Peter Broderick, Silent Night. Thanks for listening to our Christmas special. And thanks to the Keller sisters who started our show off, Sophia Tolvek, John C. Riley, and Taylor Goldsmith, Bill Thomas, Danielle Webster, and Cameron Noller. Opening theme by Sean Watkins in Los Angeles, California. And theme by Burkham Boys in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Mary Jones is the talent producer. Elizabeth Brousseau helps out with the digital realm. Eric Dethridge is the producer and editor. Ann Alquist is the director. Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrist Charitable Trust, the Lorac family, the estate of Blair Flegel, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative. I'm Tom Brousseau. May you always find the sun until we meet again.